And of course, you know, we think of birthdays, and the Lord does tell us to number our days, and so we don't take birthdays for granted. In fact, we should not take each day for granted. And so I'd like to encourage our hearts. I know we praise God for every day, but of course we've been praying a lot lately, a lot of heavy prayer requests that we've been going through here as a church family, for those even without the church. And so tonight's message, when the unthinkable happens, kind of got me thinking. And so tonight's message, when the unthinkable happens, really is, I'll be the first to confess, I kind of live in my own bubble. I want my bubble to be God's will, but my bubble is made up of things that are routine, things that I expect. I come to church, I expect to see you here. You know, when I come home, I expect to see my kids there. When I turn the car ignition, I expect it to start, you know. And so this is kind of my bubble. And then sometimes a wrench is thrown in there from, it could be something as, the car not starting, to something a lot more severe, loss of life, the death of a loved one, things that we can't plan. God knows it, and so our comfort is in Him. But it really got me thinking, just especially with some of the prayer requests we've been having lately here. And so let me just ask this right off the bat. You know, how are things going? Anything bad happened to you lately? Or maybe we've been struggling with things for a long time already. Certainly we're reminded life is tough. It's full of heartbreak. We've been praying for this young mom. I just can't imagine that family, what you're going through. This was her fourth child, and it's a scheduled C-section, and then this happened. I remember when we were anticipating Alora's C-section. I mean, where'd she go? She's somewhere here. Yep, right there. And it was kind of a countdown. It was our first C-section. And so the doctor said, well, what birthday would she like? Like, wow, no one's ever asked that before. Let's go with September 12th. That's a meaningful day for us. And so counting down the days, we were excited. And, of course, by God's grace, that was a joy to get her. She's a little peanut. But I can't even imagine putting myself in the shoes of this family that we've been praying for a while. A day of birth, of life, of elation. All of a sudden taking a turn for the worse, becoming a day of mourning. It's tough. I can't imagine the other kids growing up without their mom if the worst were to happen, if she doesn't recover. Statistically, it's, again, God's in control, and praise God that God is the God of miracles. But just historically and medically, it's tough. It's a tough situation. I can't imagine a baby growing up not knowing her mom. A husband that's left behind. I can't imagine any medical decisions that he would need to make. We pray for mercy and wisdom for him. We've been praying for this young man, another young boy, right around Sebastian's age. And he's been having heart problems since pretty much his whole life. Don't know. Doctors don't give him a good prognosis of how much longer they expect him to live. Of course, we pray for miracles. But sometimes, even though we don't want the unthinkable to happen, they do happen. And all of a sudden, my bubble, what I expect, it gets burst, it gets shattered, and that's tough. If I can be honest, I don't know how the lost do it. In fact, maybe they don't do it, but praise God for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you're saved, we have comfort. May tonight's message, may it encourage us, may it comfort us, maybe even prepare us. And maybe I'm thinking, well, I haven't really had anything that was that bad happen to me. Well, praise God for His mercy. Maybe we've never had anything that unthinkable happen to us, where, oh no, this happens to other people. We only read about it in the papers or on the newspaper, on online. But this certainly can be happening to me. And maybe that hasn't happened yet, but may this arm us, comfort us, prepare us for the days ahead when it might. And when it does, may we remember God's unchanging, unbreakable promise that He will never leave us nor forsake us. And so that said, let's go to Acts chapter 16. We're going to look at the testimony here, the story of the Philippian jailer, and I really draw a illustration in a larger sense. of the unthinkable, because the unthinkable happens to him. And so let's go to Acts chapter 16. And again, reminded to us, without God, there is no hope. That's why we know the story of the Philippine jailer. He was going to commit suicide. But with God, we have all the hope that we will ever need, because he is the God of hope. And so it's really to draw a big contrast between when the unthinkable happens, the hopelessness without God, and the hopefulness with God. So let's go to Acts chapter 16, and we'll start there. New Testament book of Acts chapter 16, of course, this is the account, very famous passage here of Paul and Silas and all that. But let's go straight to verse 26. Acts 16, let's go to verse 26. This is right when it happened. So verse 26 says, "And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a joy it is still, no matter what, to come into your house of comfort, your house of peace, your house of rest and prayer. And Father, we thank you for the indwelling Holy Spirit of God who comforts us, the Holy Spirit of God who empowers us, who speaks to us, who guides us, who teaches us. Lord, and we love you to bring to remembrance your unbreakable promise that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And so, Lord, we just ask even tonight, of course, you bless the service. May our hearts be tender to your word, that you encourage us, equip us, and prime us for the days ahead. But Father, we ask a special, you know, double dose of grace even now on the families that we have been praying for. Lord, just the unthinkable has happened to them. I can't even just wrap my mind around that, Lord. But Father, I know you are in control. And Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, you know every heartache and every teardrop that's been shed. And Lord, we just ask that you comfort these dear families even now. You know, just where there's hurt, that you would be that salve, that comforter, the Holy Spirit of God. And so, Father, we love you. Bless tonight, Lord. Help us to truly number our days, you know, meaning to be thankful for what we have, that we have you no matter what, Lord. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. So when the unthinkable happens, we don't like to think about it, but sometimes it can happen. It is always severe, and it is almost always sudden, okay? Not always, but usually it's sudden. It's unexpected from that standpoint. And I think you're the example of the poor Philippian jailer. You know, he's really kind of just doing his job, minding his own business, okay? And who'd have thought, I guess earthquakes happen from time to time, but the idea is, you know, the prisoners have all kind of settled down for the night. Maybe Paul and Silas are still singing. Praise God. We know they were. But everyone else kind of settled down. And, you know, he's fallen asleep because he gets woken up. And so it's past midnight now. Maybe he's thinking, if I was him, I'm thinking, well, this is the hard part's over. All the rowdy prisoners, are, you know, we fed them. They're good to go. I can put it into cruise control. I'm good for the rest of the night. Okay, and then I just kind of pillow my head and maybe I zonk out. And so I would never have thought to see this coming. We know that he didn't. And then so it happens. So the earthquake, you get the rumbling. And so at first you think, oh, another one of these earthquakes. And then maybe it's prolonged. And then all of a sudden you see all the, if you and I, you know, put ourselves in the shoes of the jailer, all of a sudden the jail doors swing open. And you're like, wow, no way. This can't be happening. I mean, this is bad. And now, just to put it in context, there are, of course, as a jailer back in the Bible days, your life will be forfeit. In other words, you will be killed if your ward, if your prisoners escape. It's your life or theirs. Okay, so that's how they, you know, get you vested in your job. Make sure you take care of the prisoners. If they escape, then you'll take their place, and it'll be your life or theirs. Now, that said, there are two safeguards to keep the prisoners in check. Okay, there's two safeguards. You have the bars, the cells, and then within the cells, you have individual chains. In fact, if you look at them, in verse 26, each prisoner, or maybe they kind of clump them together, whatever, but each prisoner has their own personal chains, they're bonds, okay? And so even if the bars open, they're still kind of shackled to the wall or shackled to the ground, shackled to each other. You know, they're still kind of a second-tier buffer, okay, before they can escape. But notice what this earthquake does. Number one, it's an earthquake, which is not common to begin with. But number two, it happens so specifically that it says, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken so badly, so severely. Now, of course, we know this is divine intervention, but to him, this is just shouldn't happen. Why me? Okay, maybe this is his last day and he's going to retire the next day and just cash in his retirement. Who knows? Okay, and immediately all the doors were open, all of them. All the jail cells, and like, no way, this can't be happening. I mean, when it's bad enough if one jail cell opens, but now all of it opens. When it rains, it pours, right? And so this is what's going on. It's not just my child got hurt. This is the unthinkable that happens, that maybe death has claimed my child. And I'm thinking, no way, how can this happen? How can this happen that, you know, we were so careful. We were at this birthday party. I'm just making something up, okay? At a birthday party, so many adults were there. All the kids were playing in the pool. And for my son to drown, everyone had to look away and be distracted at the exact same time. And my son, he knows how to swim. Maybe he got a cramp at the exact same time. And then all his friends were distracted. No one noticed him sinking till it was too late. I mean, whatever circumstance, when we think of all these unthinkable things that happen in tragic reality, we realize that, wow, how does this happen? I mean, we don't think for that. We don't plan for that. And so here, just like that, all the cells open. Like, what are the chances of that? And then everyone's bands were loose. So every single prisoner, their shackles all kind of came off from the rumbling, kind of broke or busted or something. They could haul it off. Now maybe it's not attached to the wall anymore. They can swing it as a weapon. And so, but they're all out and they're all loose. And so this is, poor jailer here, he's thinking, what are the chances? This is truly unthinkable. I mean, this will never happen in a million years. I would never thought this would happen. The stars have to align for this to happen. But now it's his reality. And I think even of my jail Bible study partner, Brother Neil, he lost his son, Steve. This was years ago. His son, Steve, had graduated high school and died 3 months later in a car crash at that intersection. From your home there. And that was a tough time. Brother Neil would tell this story quite often to the inmates to kind of get them to understand no one has got a mortgage on life. God doesn't owe us any, you know, he promises by grace, in general terms, 70 years. But individually, God has an individual plan for all of us. But it was a deadly collision at an intersection. And what the police report had said was, if it had missed just a little bit, if it was either head-on or crisscross, I can't remember which one, but if they were just a 1 second, 2 second delay, they would have missed each other, or it would have been a fender bender. It would not have been as fatal as it was. And then you kind of get thinking, wow, if only Steve had, I don't know, just glanced out the window 2 seconds longer that morning, or took a longer sip of his Mountain Dew, or whatever. If only he had hugged Neil 1 second longer, 2 seconds longer, things would all have changed, right? I mean, because then they would have missed, or whatever. And so the unthinkable, we can't even fathom it happening, but it can happen. And so I think you're even of the, going back to our jailer. So the unthinkable happens, and then now we have to do the impossible. We have to do the impossible. And for Brother Neil, it was continuing life without his son. He and his son, their birthday is one day apart, calendar-wise, of course, you know. But he was close. Neil and Steve were like that. His son had just gotten saved, professed Jesus at a younger age. But then more recently, before he graduated, I think 17, he reaffirmed his salvation. He wasn't quite sure if he was saved. And so that was a real comfort. That was a real blessing. And then even after the accident, for months, they had to go to court I don't know what they had to do, but there was a court hearing and there was a case and all that. And so even then, they couldn't have any closure on his son's passing for months. But God held them up like this. They had to do the impossible. but it's by God's grace. You know, and so we think when the unthinkable happens, and now we have to do the impossible, how's it gonna play out? Well, for the Philippian jailer, and this is why it's so necessary that we are saved. For the Philippian jailer, the unthinkable happened. What's the impossible that he needs to do? Well, he needs to stuff all the prisoners back in their cells and lock them up again. That's what he needs to do. Okay, the impossible, the unthinkable happened, and so he's got to do the impossible. Of course, he knows that's not going to happen, and so right away, seeing no other option, no other human option, because of course we know God's there. Praise now. That's the punchline. Okay, but as he sees things the way it is, there's no other way out of this. Of this predicament. If they were doing a viral video about him, the Philippian jailer, the title might be, "This Philippian jailer is already dead. He just doesn't know it." You know, one of those kind of things. But he sees his circumstance and he knows, wow, I've blown it. There's no coming out of this. It's an impossibility for me to get out of this mess. And so he, well, just to save time or just in his hopelessness, hitting rock bottom, he decides to take his own life. And so it says in verse 27, the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. Now, he's not necessarily doing this out of cowardice. He's just doing this because he really doesn't see any other option, any other choice. Maybe he's thinking, I'll just do it on my own terms. I don't know. Better than getting whatever, you know, and so that's kind of what he's doing, and he's going to take his own life because he cannot do the impossible at this point where only the impossible would work. Make sense? The unthinkable happened. Now he's got to do the impossible, and obviously we don't call it impossible for no reason. He can't do it because it is impossible. That's the whole point, and so there's no other way out, and so he's going to take his own life, but with God, all things are possible. And so that's the joy for the Christian. When the unsaved world has no other out, when the unsaved have nothing beyond impossibility but sorrow and death, Jesus himself tells us, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. And so let's see this miracle play out. Now Paul here pictures really the Lord, or at least the Lord's work, okay, because there's a miracle going to happen here. And so we'll see, again, with God, all things are possible. Here's a case in point. Out of the dark, okay, out of the cell, it says, but Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm. So, well, hang on, Mr. Jailer, don't kill yourself yet, for we are all here. What? What in the world? I mean, there's no prison riot, there's no jailbreak. Everyone's just, I don't know, just hanging out. that's a miracle, right? That's a miracle. And so that unbelievable. So when the unthinkable happens, praise God, we have hope through God and only through God. If it were not for this miracle right here, I mean, he would have killed himself. Absolutely, he was going to do that. Yes, Christians do sorrow like anyone else. But don't forget, we don't sorrow like those that have no hope, right? Paul writes this. Let's turn there real quick. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I know we've gone through these verses, but yeah, it's good to just read it for ourselves every time. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And let's go to verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Yes, Christians, we sorrow like anyone else. But, it says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. So we do sorrow, but we don't sorrow like the unsaved who literally have no hope. There is no hope outside of Jesus Christ. Someone that rejects Jesus Christ, the only thing that awaits them after this life is hell. Forever. And for the unbeliever, you're either going to live whatever life you have, you then go to hell, or live a shorter life here than go to hell. I mean, it ends the same way, eternity and torment. I mean, that's horrible. That's zero hope. There's nothing to look forward to. I mean, that's horrible. But if we are saved, then look at this, verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, that's the gospel. If we believe that Jesus did that for us to save us, he's our Lord. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus, those who are dead in Christ. Now, this sleep here is the same as when Lazarus went to sleep, okay? And then the disciples go, oh, if he's sleeping, then that's not the big deal. Then Jesus says, no, he's dead. Like, oh, okay. Okay, so sleep here meaning they are dead, but they are dead in Christ, okay? And sleep is used as a metaphorical term because Jesus is going to literally raise them from the dead, okay? But they are dead, okay? But he's going to raise their bodies, okay? Their soul is with him, praise God, but he's going to resurrect the body. That's a resurrection. So even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Praise the Lord. There is hope for Christians. When we say, glad you're saved, it's not just a cliche. It's not just something to just fill a sentence. It's a big deal. Are you glad you're saved? Hallelujah. Praise God. We have hope. And so, yes, the unthinkable can happen. But Christians, we have hope. In fact, Christian sorrow, which is godly sorrow, actually brings us closer to God, right? You know, I can't imagine if one of my children were to die before me, but I can tell you that all of a sudden heaven becomes that much sweeter. All of a sudden I'm thinking of eternity more often. Okay, I'm just saying this godly sorrow brings us closer to God, and we will never repent of it. Meaning we will never regret that. That godly sorrow brings us closer to God because God is the comfort for us through all sorrow. That's phenomenal. Don't have to turn to that verse, but it's in 2 Corinthians. Whereas the sorrow of the world brings what? Worketh what? Death. It's not good. I mean, it's just from bad to worse. Christian sorrow, it's sorrowful, but it brings us closer to God. And then we have comfort. We have hope. So let's go back to Acts 16. Let's see this play out. Again, Paul is going to picture God and all God's working, God's intervention. And then so let's go back to Acts 16. The unthinkable did happen to the Philippian jailer. Obviously, it starts off, he's got no hope. And so he's going to commit suicide because that's what I would do if I have no hope, right? I mean, what's the point? But God intervenes. And so with God, there is hope. So look at what Paul says here. Of course, he said, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and like, no way, they're all here. So guess what? The impossible did happen. He didn't do it. God did it. In fact, the impossible, he had to stuff them all back. He didn't have to do that. They never left. God held them. That's amazing. Sprang in, came trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Of course, now this is this encounter with God. Amen. And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Just what we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now he's going to have hope. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized. He and all his that was saved, his whole household got saved, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced. Why? Believing in God with all his house. A little side note here. There might have been babies in his household. They were not those that were saved. What it's talking about here are those that all believed. Okay, they all were old enough to believe. Okay, so that is just to clarify that. He got saved by believing. His whole family got saved by believing. They all got saved and baptized. That's wonderful. Praise God. And so when the unthinkable happens, because of the Lord. Now, I want to be careful how I say this because I don't want to downplay anyone's sorrow or hurt. But this is the reality for a Christian. When the unthinkable happens to a Christian, because of God, it's not as bad as it appears. And that is absolute truth. For a Christian, because of a hope in God, when the unthinkable happens, it's not as bad as we think initially. Again, and this is again case in point here. You can think of, I got another example. Let's go by Peter. Let's go to Matthew 18. He's walking on water here. Let's go to Matthew 18. I mean, the hurt is real. The tragedy, it's tough, no doubt. But because of God, we have hope. It is not impossible. Because with God, all things are possible. It is not as bad as we would think it is. So Matthew 14, let's go to verse 28. Here, of course, Peter walking on water. And so kind of, again, good illustration of Peter trusting Christ. He had to walk on water. It kind of shows a Christian, you know, walking with God. So let's go to verse 28, Matthew 14. It says, "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." Which, hey, that's commendable. He wants to be by Jesus. And Jesus obliges, says, come. And of course, as a Christian, we ought to want to be by Jesus. So that's, you know, we walk towards Jesus. That we walk with Jesus. That's great. So good picture here. But then, suddenly in verse, you know, when we say in verse, let me read verse 29 first. "And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus." So we go, amen. But then verse 30 hits, and suddenly things can go bad. This is the life of a Christian. Tragedy can strike. It's pictured by the boisterous waves here. It says, "But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink." And so things might happen in our life that cause us to sink like this. You know, we lose our health, our home, our job, our loved ones. We start sinking in the sea that overwhelms us. We need to do the impossible and climb out of our horrible pit and try to get ahead, but we just can't. It's like sinking down in quicksand, and we can't do anything. It's impossible for us to go on. How am I ever going to get through this? It's impossible for me to get through this. And then it says here, he cried, saying, "Lord." Now, there's no exclamation mark here, okay? But the Bible does tell us specifically he cried. So he is yelling, okay? "Lord, save me." And that's all it took. Crying out to God when we are in an impossible, overwhelming circumstance, and I'm going down. I'm going all the way down to the bottom. And I, in my own strength, I can't pedal anymore. I was never a good swimmer to begin with. I'm just going down like a ton of rocks, bricks, and all I can do is Lord, save me. And here's the hope for the Christian, because a unbeliever, they're going down and they're staying down. But for a child of God, we don't have to sorrow like those that have no hope, because Jesus Christ is our hope. Lord, save me. Look at the response. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand. It's his presence. He would never leave us nor forsake us, God's unbreakable promise. And caught him and said unto him, it's all Jesus. Jesus does it all. Now, Peter has to trust and cry out. That's our part. But God is the one that caught him. Say, gotcha. You're not going down. I gotcha. O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? The Lord tells us, Isaiah 41, verse 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Of course, we know Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear, what? No evil. For thou art with me. Doesn't mean the trials are not there. They're there, but God's with us. Praise God. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. One more example. This is Paul's shipwreck, his shipwreck. So let's go to Acts 27. So Paul, of course, here pictures, you know, the Christian with hope. And then the sailors picture the unbelievers with no hope. So let's go to Acts 27. First, we'll see without hope, without God. So this is the testimony of the unsaved sailors. So let's go to Acts 27. Let's go to verse 20. Again, this is one of the big shipwreck that Paul was in. And so let's go to verse 20 of Acts 27. And so here's the general attitude, okay, of the whole ship. It says, "And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared." Boy, it's like a continual night. Now, again, this is physically happening here, but it can happen to us emotionally. It can happen to us, you know, where it's nighttime forever. And like, man, there's no light at the end of the tunnel. We don't see the sun dawning upon us. "And no small tempest lay on us." And so storms all the way around. It's nighttime all the time. I mean, it's just in the rain. I mean, it's just so doom and gloom. "And all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Just like the Philippian jailer, hopelessness. It's an impossibility. The only way they're going to get out of this is if the weather changes or whatever. And so that's the situation they are in. In fact, if you go down to verse 29 says, "Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern." Now this is the crew. "And wished for the day," okay, and it's more so the last part that wished for the day, where when we are so overwhelmed and we're just going down, we just, "Oh, I just want this day to be over. I just want a new day to come." But you're stuck in this cycle of perennial, continual night. Isn't that horrible? That's really bad, okay? Again, this is the unbelievers without hope. There's no God. That's why they're there. But Paul here, he pictures the Christian with God, with hope. Look at verse 21. Paul's kind of, you know, biting his lip. And so verse 21, he finally speaks up. Look at verse 21. "But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said," they say, "All right, enough's enough. All right, guys, you should listen to what I said." Okay, it's not a told you so moment, but I want us to see the hope that he has. He says, "And said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of what? Good cheer." Now, Paul is in the same boat as they are. I mean, he's not in some other ship telling him that, you know, it's okay. No, he's in the same jam as they are. But he's of good cheer, and he's telling them it's going to be okay. Remember, he pictures God working just like he did with the Philippian jailer. "Say, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you." This is God's grace. Although you still have to obey. We'll see that. "But off the ship. For there stood by me this night and the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given thee all them that sail with thee." In other words, you're going to be okay. Everyone's going to be okay because I'm in control. "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." So big difference. The sailors, doom and gloom, they just wish for the day that never came. Paul is saying, it's okay. We're going to get through this. And then you go with me to verse 31. Now this is, you know, later as you're going to make to the beach. The beachfront says, "Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship." The sailors are trying to jump ship, and they needed them to man the ship. "Ye cannot be saved." Now God said he'll take care of them, but everyone's going to stay on board, all hands on deck. No one abandoned ship. God was going to take care of them. And it happened. Not one perished. That's awesome. Again, the picture is, with God, we have all the hope. Even that when the impossible, when the unthinkable happens, and then we have to do the impossible, God is there. Because with God, all things are possible. But without God, there is no hope. And so thankful we are saved. Hallelujah. Thankful we know the God of all comfort. Thank you we know the God of hope. Absolutely. May we arm ourselves, be comforted from the unthinkable so that we can still do the impossible by God's grace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your comfort. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. And Lord, without you, there is no hope at all. But with you, we have all the hope that we can do the impossible through the unthinkable. And so, Father, we just ask, again, your blessing, your mercy be upon those that we've been praying for, Lord. We just ask your hand of work a miracle there. Thank you for our blessings that we have. Help us to always count our blessings and not take you for granted and not take one another for granted. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God.